Finally, a group of localized business magazines focused on small to mid-sized businesses and mailed free of charge each month to West Des Moines, Waukee, Urbandale, Grimes, and Johnston. Each issue of the Business Journal is packed with useful information, from legal advice, human resources, to tax tips. Information that is topical and relevant. In addition, the Business Journals are a great way to reach business leaders to market your products or services. Learn more at iowabusinessjournal.com. The Business Journal, helping business grow.
What keeps you up at night? The unknowns of running a business, growing pains, benefit cost increases, whatever's keeping you up, Arion can give you peace of mind when it comes to HR services. Arion helps you navigate the complexities of employment by providing attractive and competitive benefits, handling your payroll, onboarding, compliance, and more. Plus, Arion is local, so you can have face-to-face interaction with your HR experts. Turn business concerns into business success. Visit AURION.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
And welcome back to the Business News Hour as we broadcast from the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives, the 2018 annual event here in Des Moines, Iowa. And with us, as we ramp up another episode of Marketing for Business, episode 22 with Phil K. James from Good Milkshake Digital. Yay, yay.
We are just entering the sort of the awkward post-college phase of our episodes, number 22.
Yeah, 22. Every episode, we have another life event.
Right. And, yeah. You know, and the birthdays become less and less meaningful as
That's right.
Or more, depending on what.
Kind of like Father's Day versus Mother's Day.
Right. Well, you know.
Yeah, I know. I got that part. So we are going to be talking with, and I've been a longtime fan, and I know, Phil, you have as well. His name is Max Wellman. Max... And I go back one way or another for, years and years. And when he was still a student at Roosevelt High School, and now he has a child of his own.
So right.
What are we going to talk about, Phil?
Well, I'm going to talk to Max a little bit about how the idea of, there's a really famous essay that Kevin Kelly, serial entrepreneur, you know, Silicon Valley type, he wrote an essay in the early 2000s called 1,000 True Fans.
Yep.
And it's an essay that's had a profound impact on the startup community, kind of all over, but basically business in general. The idea that you start off with 1,000 true fans, and you know, the number could be 10,000, it could be whatever, but you start off, you get to this magic number, and those people sort of become your cheerleaders for the rest of your life. And I wanted to get into like how that works for artists and musicians, and also, I mean, Max is doing some cool stuff. As always,
you know, we, in the marketing world, we used to call those folks brand warriors.
Okay.
People that would go to bat for you and go to war for you when maybe others wouldn't.
Sure.
So let's get Max in on this. Max Wellman, welcome to the Business News Hour again, my friend.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's quite all right. When we talk about your business, it's a very public business. But at the same time, it's a very private business. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. And it's changed over the years. I think when I first started playing out, it was about 12 years ago, and that would have been around the time that I met you. And I think I met Phil actually shortly after that, after I met his brother. But anyway, that was one... kind of thing that I was doing at that time, and with just my own music and concert production and all of that, and that developed over the years. And now for the last, 4 years ago was when we started in on the plans for Noche, the jazz club that I run along with Bob and Maria Filippone down on Walnut Street. And we've been open for 2.5 years. And so now I kind of am working on multiple planes, running that and running my music. But those are also very intertwined. So, yeah, as far as the public versus private thing, that's a pretty constant thing that I think about in a small market, smaller market like Des Moines. I mean, your customer base is the people that you know and live around, and that can get interesting.
And you've been fortunate to have 1,000 fans or 1,000 or brand sure. warriors, if you will. How have those people impacted your career?
Well, I was very lucky from the beginning to, I think at first it was kind of a novelty thing for people, just that I was
that's well put.
So young
yeah.
Doing what I was doing.
Yes, young.
Singing jazz.
Exactly.
It was who is this kid?
Who's he think he is?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of people saying that, and there's still a lot of people saying that. But people were enticed by that, and so I think I attracted a lot more attention than I would have otherwise, being a different age or doing a different genre of music or whatever. And thankfully, there were a fair amount of people that supported me then that are still... I was thinking this last week. I did a big show... an album release at Noche on my birthday, and it's a Tuesday night in July, coming off of a crazy week full of big events in Des Moines, and we sold that show out, and I looked around that room, and it was a lot of people that have been there, you know, throughout those 12 years, you know, which is, it's invaluable. You got to take care of those initial people that make it clear that they are inspired by or just bought into your business. That's definitely true as an artist, but it's also true about Noche. You know, collect that core and take care of them first, right. because they will be there for you.
How has technology changed your business? I'm asking these questions. I'm sorry, I got to get Phil in on this, but
yeah.
You could help me understand how the new ways to reach out to mm-hmm. individuals, how has that changed your business?
Well, like just real quick, bullet point style. Again, when I got started, the music industry, both on the national, international scene, all the way down to the local scene, was being rocked by the changes in the recording industry with the advent of the iPod and MP3s in general. And that has only continued to just vastly change, mainly the way that independent musicians work. The music world at large on the, you know, in the big leagues, if you will, with the big labels and A-list name artists, they have adjusted to a large extent and the businesses are stable again and whatnot. But as far as getting the independent artists going, really, it's been, I think, a rough time to come up through all of that, because first and foremost, there's a huge revenue stream that used to be very significant for even beginners in recorded music. Selling your recorded music is gone. It's now I'll tell you it is. You'll get, if you're not, 'cause all of that just operates on scale. You have to make a huge footprint in the streaming services to make a buck.
Because the
royalties there,
it's
insane. Yeah. It's a fraction of a penny for every stream. And those are people who would have purchased a $10 to $20 album previously. So that's rough. But you're also there. You have to look for the opportunities in these changes. It is easier in some ways to get your music out there in front of people who are outside of your community. You find your community at large. Say if you're in a niche market like me, and you sing jazz standards, you're not as limited to, okay, let me just find the people in Des Moines, Iowa who like that. You can really, because of the internet and the digital world as it exists now, you can go out and find those people wherever they live around the world
and your stuff is readily available to them in a way that it wasn't before.
Why jazz?
Why
it's a
not?
Great question.
I want to know.
Okay.
The reason I ask is because, you know, obviously coming up, it was more of a novelty. It was more than a novelty, because obviously you have to love it. You have to love it if you're going to perform it. You can't fake something like that, right?
Yeah.
So why is it that you chose jazz, and why is it that you continue to choose it?
Well, I think of it as being a choice and not a choice. From a really young age, I mean, one of my earliest memories is of listening to this stuff. And it was just by happenstance. I think about this a lot now with my own. I have a 6-month-old son. And I think there's just no way of knowing who he's going to be. No one would have thought that me, being the firstborn of my parents and who they are, that I would be a jazz singer, you know. And it's important to, like, present kids with all a vast palette of, you know, things they're exposed to. But as soon as I heard the stuff, I fell in love with it for whatever reason. I mean, I think as time has gone by, I've been able to identify a lot of the reasons why I love it and why a lot of people love it. But I think a lot of it is unexplainable, too. In the early 90s, there was a brief moment of a kind of jazz revival that was going on, mainly in swing music. It was led by Harry Connick Jr., who was releasing these masterpiece albums that were charting. They were doing really well. At the same time, it's at the tail end of this Young Lions movement in the instrumental jazz world with people like Wynton Marsalis, Branford Marsalis, Christian McBride. And so it wasn't as strange to run into that music as it might seem now in retrospect. But as far as sticking with it, it's at my core. I love it. And feels right to me.
And you've experimented along the way with different modalities of getting your music out there. You left Des Moines, you traveled to other cities, and you came back.
Yes. Well, this is an interesting kind of tie back into that idea of that core group of support. So I always say, if there would have been a category in my high school of, you know, least likely to live in Des Moines, people would have voted for me. I was so, so ready from a really young age to get out. Not that I didn't love it, but I just did not see myself being here. And it became harder and harder not to come back because of opportunities I would be presented with. Every time that I would get started out in a new, bigger market, even as I was getting work, it felt like such a huge step back to be playing, say, at, okay, you can play at this, you know, little jazz bar down the street in wherever it would be, Atlanta, Georgia, even Chicago, whatever, and we're going to pay you $80. Or, oh, I got another call from, you know, the Chamber of Commerce in Des Moines to play an event next weekend for, like, way more than that. And I got used to, from a very young age, making money at what I did. And I was so enticed by the business of it that I never was able to fully let go of that. And so every time I've been somewhere else, I've had one foot in and one foot out. I maintained involvement in Iowa. And something would always come up that would be a reason to come back. And now, I would also say, and the backdrop of that is, this has been a very unique time to be in Des Moines, Iowa. And that feeling of growth is not a feeling that is rampant everywhere else. Even in scenes that are way bigger, the feeling is of decline in a lot of places. And so that's enticing to me to be involved in that. nowhere else would I have had the opportunity to, at the age of, you know, what it, at the time when I got hired to do Noche, before I was brought into ownership, I was 23, and that wouldn't have happened.
Wouldn't have happened anywhere else. We are talking with Max Wellman. My name is Michael Libby and Phil K. James. You're listening to Marketing for Business, episode 22. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do part two of our conversation with Max Wellman. Hang in there.